This episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks is brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. The Mason Jar is the official Gamecock bar for the New York City area. Fans and alumni of USC can come by the jar for some great barbecue, cold drinks, and of course, to watch the Gamecocks in any sport, all while surrounded by South Carolina memorabilia. If you want to get a slice of game day in Columbia all while in the Big Apple, head to the Mason Jar on East 30th Street. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 92 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by the Mason Jar, New York City. I am your host, Tim Cox, and I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I'm just all out of sorts. You know, normally on these shows, I'm gearing up for the weekend and gearing up for a game, getting the picks in order, and we've already played a game. And there's been all crazy weather, and I'm still gearing up for the weekend, but I'm not prepared for any stress. So, yeah, welcome to a on-the-fly, sort of a change-up episode here, where we're going to be doing the post-game from the SC State, but we'll still do the weekend review from around USC Athletics, and also the six-pack of picks. But, again, it's just funny because I've already watched some college football, but in all seriousness, I hope y'all are doing well, and I hope everyone down in the low country, and if there's anybody else who, you know, may be affected by this storm, I hope you stay safe, you know, have everything charged up, everything will be all right, and yeah, just stay safe and hunker down there. But let's focus on USC Athletics here, the thing that brings us together and ideally brings us a lot of joy here. So before I get into the post game from the game from Thursday night, do have a week in review from around USC Athletics for y'all. So starting off on Monday, the men's golf team finished 11th after the final round of stroke play at SEC match play. So a little confusing there. It was the season best 7-under for the team there. So solid outing from the guys. And then on Tuesday, the team played Ole Miss in match play, ended up losing 3-2, but I think it was a tournament before match play. So sort of a mixed bag from the men's golf team there. Wednesday, women's volleyball lost to Georgia 2-3. That's all right, girls. And then on Thursday, two games were going on. You had football and women's soccer. Women's soccer beat Florida 1-0. Way to go. Our women's soccer team, they kick ass. Like, low-key, high-key, they have been having a very, very nice season. So way to go. I'm excited to see where things shape up for them this year. Which brings us to the Hurricane Ian adjusted game for the football game played Thursday night. Under the lights at Willie B, USC also canceled classes on Friday. So every reason that the cockpit was rocking, 5 points was probably absurd, packed, jumping, whatever you want to say. But I think the Gamecock community handled this change rather well. It was very sudden that the game was moved to Thursday. All in all, probably the smart decision given the impending weather and the resources that, you know, will be needed after that. But all in all, a good night. South Carolina beats SC State 50-10. 50 burger. How about that? Back to back. And overall for the team, it was just nice to see them adjust on the fly for this game, right? All in all, they put in a solid performance. It's on short rest. Willie B was less than full just because of the change. And don't look now, but our South Carolina Gamecocks have a winning record. What? How about that? I know that sounded like such a foreign concept only a couple of weeks ago, but 3-2 on the year as of now. And to start this game, it looked like it took the team a couple of possessions to really get the engines going. And that can be expected on a Thursday game. I mean, it happens in the NFL. I think it was Richard Sherman when he was still playing. He called Thursday night games a poop fest. And sometimes they can be a little poop fest because it's short rest. Guys are not 100% yet. But once everyone woke up, this was a very efficient game on both sides of the ball. Sort of a get in, do your job, and then get the hell out of there with a win type of game here. Some highlights on the stat sheet for y'all. Spencer Rattler went 21 of 27 throwing with 212 yards, two touchdowns, and two interceptions. A lot of twos there. Spencer Rattler should go play the lottery and bet the number two. But those two picks were really not his fault, if you ask me. They were just wacky bounces. That first one really just should have been an incompletion, and then it bounced off the guy's leg, and then the other guy was there and tipped it, and it was just a mess. And then, obviously, there was the other one that bounced off Xavier Leggett's hands. Marshawn Lloyd went for 80 yards with a rushing touchdown, and then also 11 receiving yards and a touchdown. Jalen Brooks with three catches for 61 yards and that big bomb. And Jaheim Bell, two catches for 48 yards and a receiving touchdown. Now, obviously, the level of competition these last two games are far less than your average SEC team. But I think these two games came at a perfect time for this team. And hopefully, the team can use a pair of big wins to really slingshot into Lexington next weekend with some momentum and some good vibes. I talked about that before the Charlotte game. You needed to get some good vibes into the building. It was a wacky start to the year. Georgia State put up a better fight than we thought in the opener, but you still got that W. And then you just had two tough, tough conference games. So it was a nice sort of reset for the team. You're probably where most people expected you to be through five games in the season. And now you've put together a pair of solid performances. So what can you do with it, right? Also, you know, speaking of the next matchup, you're not going to see me complaining about a couple of extra days of rest leading up to a big-time road matchup. And I don't think the coaches are either. Players also get to rest up. Guys who might have been nicked up, like Darius Rush, they get to get fully healthy to be at 110%. But I want to focus on the last game that we just watched against SC State. What I liked and what I didn't like from around the team, starting with the offense, what I liked, finally put together sustained drives. Four of our scoring drives went over 50 yards. That's what you want to see. One of them went for like, what was it, 95 yards? We were backed in our end zone and marched all the way down. Now, the time of possession in those drives wasn't anything crazy. Wasn't like we were just bleeding the clock and just, you know, death by a thousand cuts. It was 3 minutes here, 4 minutes there. Good. But I liked seeing these longer drives. So, yes, there were some short field situations and we took advantage. But when we needed to answer or when we had the opportunity to march, we largely did. I mean, four drives going over 50 yards to score, that is impressive. And that's what you want to see. That means you have balance. That means you're getting ahead of the chains. You're not putting yourself in a lot of second and long, third and long, things like that. That needs to keep up if you're going to have success in the SEC. Need to be able to have sustained drives. Also, what I liked was we saw some of these deep throws and timing routes hit. Didn't hit at 100%. In fact, one long bomb went for an interception off that bounce. But we saw some nice long throws to Jalen Brooks. Juice Wells was thrown in there. And while I don't want the team to rely on these long throws, being able to connect on them will be critical in big spots against SEC opponents. So I was glad to see it. You needed to get it done against real live competition, guys who are scheming against you. You haven't played against them. What's it look like when you're throwing it deep? Jalen Brooks went up and got that. That throw might have got held up in the wind a little bit, but he went up and got it. So that's what you like to see. Also, something that I liked, really loved, Marshawn Lloyd. I mean, my goodness. Through these first five games, he has solidified himself not just as the true RB1, but as a certified playmaker. I truly feel that he is as dependable as we had all hoped he would be. And he turned out to be a true baller, and he can really do it all. I mean, we thought about this for years, literally years. We're like, what will Marshawn Lloyd look like when he's fully healthy? We're seeing it. He obviously has the burst on the ground. He showed that against SC State and Charlotte for sure. But his ability to catch the ball and make the first defender miss, he's done that all season, has been outstanding. And it's been a pleasure to watch. And as far as I'm concerned, y'all, this offense needs to start with him, run through him, and then let the chips fall where they may after that. It's a pleasure to see him develop into this player, and I feel like he's just getting started. Now, what I didn't like on the offensive side was a couple of silly dropped passes. I talked about it already. I don't want to harp on it. You had two that probably should have been caught, at least one, but both, they turned into just silly interceptions. The one by Leggett, you know, it just bounced off his hands. You know, it happens. You really can't let it happen, especially down near the goal line. So that has to be cleaned up. Luckily, because we were playing SC State, the defense was able to stop them, and you didn't really lose anything. But that cannot be the case going forward, because these SEC teams will make you pay. Also, what I didn't like, this was more so in the first half, was the offense just still looked a little bit disjointed. That's just the word I keep coming back to. It's just an eye test. I can't point to something on the stat sheet and say this is what I'm talking about, but it just seemed like the first handful of drives and then every now and then in the game, they were able to move the chains, but it just seemed like they lacked rhythm and they had a couple of drives that just stalled. And, you know, I will give a little bit of a benefit of the doubt to the change in schedule Thursday night poop fest, but we've seen that with this offense this year, that drives will just stall, or you get a first down or two, but it wasn't how you drew it up. And I don't know, just something that you need to keep an eye out for. But I mean, at the end of the day, we put up a 50 burger. So how upset can I really be at the offense? You know what I mean? Now, on the defensive side of the ball, what I loved was turnovers. Oh my goodness. How about that? Three of them to be exact. Bam Martin Scott, Sherrod Green, and Marcellus Dial all with picks. It really felt like a matter of time in this game. You know, our guys were close early on. They were in position the whole game. Felt like one was going to come. So it was great to see it finally happen. And I talked about this before the Charlotte game, that the defense needed to get some turnovers, get that mojo going, and then they can come in bunches. And we've seen that. So hopefully this can continue as we head back into SEC play. Just so fun to see. Shout out Bam Martin Scott, man. And Sherrod Greed and Marcellus Dial. Shout out all three of those guys. Also, I liked the defensive line play because it felt like anytime SC State ran a traditional running play, it felt like it almost always went nowhere. Zach Pickens had a nice game. Gilbert Edmond recorded three tackles himself. And all those guys were complimented by the linebacking play. But it really seemed like we were able to control the line of scrimmage all game, which is exactly what you're supposed to do against teams like this. That's what you're supposed to do. And that's the sign of a solid team. Just do what you're supposed to do in these games when you're heavily favored. And that's largely what we did across the board. Now, what I didn't like, you're going to have to bear with me on this one, was SC State's success with the RPO and misdirection runs. So, yes, I just said the defensive line did a good job of stopping traditional running plays. But the success that SC State had with whether it was options, RPOs, misdirections, it was just frustrating because it seemed like that was the one thing they had on us. And they would just run it and they get, you know, 4 or 5 yards here. They get a conversion here. They had a couple of big runs that came from these misdirections. And that will definitely need to be worked on because now that's on tape. I would be shocked if teams didn't key in that and try to expose that. But overall, with the defense, what you saw was a group that is truly, it's the healthiest it's been in weeks when you think about it. And they finally looked like the group we expected to. And more help is on the way with Darius Rush. I think if this game had been played on Saturday, he might have gone. Didn't need him. Let him be 110% against Kentucky. Also, quick shout out to Tonka Hemingway and Beamer Ball, the 2-point conversion. I mean, big man points. I love Tonka Hemingway, man. Like, all-time name and just works hard. Has been a contributor on the defensive line, and then he scores a 2-point conversion. That was just practice at that point. Beamer's like, let's just see if this works. Electric. But overall for the game, you know, this was a very solid and efficient performance. We were heavily favored in the game, and even with the sudden change in schedule, it just felt like the team came out strong, and they put up a pretty complete performance. And look, of course, there's moments where things didn't go our way. Couple of play calls you don't like. Luckily, the staff has a couple extra days to look at those, but this was a game where you could take an extra risk or two and not sweat it too much. I felt the offense had nice balance overall. 2 wacky turnovers. You know, we might have had more points even. Spencer did a nice job of distributing the ball. The formula has got to be juice is the go-to. Jalen Brooks complements that with his length. You hit Jaheim Bell for a sneaky gain. Big gain, and then the rest, handle it from there. And again, Marshawn Lloyd is just him. He is him. So expect him to be featured more in this offense. But nevertheless, y'all, the Gamecocks are sitting at 3-2, and they put back-to-back solid performances, albeit against lesser competition, but even so. I mean, the vibes have to be good in that building, right? So, again, the question now is, what do you do with it? I think both coordinators have learned something about their groups over these last 2 games, and I think the players grew into their roles more over these last 2 games. So the question is, can you build on it and bring some of that same efficiency to SEC play? It's going to get harder. And going against Kentucky is a big, big jump up. But now that you've seen the formula, you've seen it in action, maybe you simplified things over these last couple of weeks. Maybe you've cleaned up communication. Maybe that's all it needed. We got a couple extra days to wait and see. But as far as I'm concerned, we can put our feet up, have a W, have a stress-free Saturday, watch football all weekend, and wait until we play Kentucky. Which brings me to my 6-pack of picks. Speaking of college football this weekend, feels funny doing a 6-pack of picks after a post-game show, but nevertheless, starting with the ACC, Wake Forest at FSU, give me over 64 in that. I mean, any Wake Forest game you can try. Big 12, interesting matchup here. Iowa State going to Kansas. Kansas is a home dog. Give me the points. Kansas +3 to the AP poll rank. Kansas football is back. I don't know if it ever went somewhere that it could come back, but whatever. Pac-12, Arizona State, they are a dumpster fire. They're going to Southern Cal. I'm taking the big points. Southern Cal -25.5. Big 10, Purdue at Minnesota. I went against Minnesota last week, and they ruined the sweep. So I'm going with them this week. Minnesota -12.5. SEC, speaking of Kentucky, I'm taking Kentucky +7 at Ole Miss. I think that game is going to be tight. That is the game of the noon slate, in my opinion, going to be very telling where both of these teams are, but I think it's going to be a tight one. Group of five, Texas State at JMU. Give me JMU minus 22. I don't know. I think JMU's pretty good. They're coming off a big win. I don't know anything about really any, either of those teams. So take that one with a grain of salt. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you like to listen. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.